Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our gospel reading, the gospel according to St. Matthew, the 16th chapter, as well as from Romans chapter 12. Don't be ridiculous. That's a good way to start off this morning, saying something like that. Don't be ridiculous. Now, why does a person say something like that? Well, usually because they've heard something absurd, something that they don't believe could ever happen. Like me telling you that the Kansas City Chiefs are going to go undefeated this year and win the Super Bowl, and not just this year, but for the next 3 years after it. No, don't be ridiculous. You see how that applies there? Well, that's exactly what's happening here when we're looking at our gospel reading for today. Jesus is telling his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and be killed and on the third day raised. They're thinking, don't be ridiculous, Jesus. Really? I mean, this is the guy here who has done all kinds of miracles. He's healed people of all kinds of diseases. He's brought people back from the dead. He's even walked on water. Don't be ridiculous. So consequently, Peter, who walked on the water with Jesus, turns to him and says, well, he began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you. Don't be ridiculous, Jesus, really? Well, Jesus turns and replies to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father. Then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Now it's that last sentence there that I want to focus on here for this morning. When Jesus comes back, he says that he will repay each person according to what he has done. Now as always, we as Lutherans, well, we know that good works don't get us into heaven. We lay hold of what Paul said to the Ephesians there in chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, and we include verse 10 here for this morning too. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Well, it's that good works thing that always hangs up folks there thinking that, oh, that's the way into heaven. But we know that, no, God gives us faith as a gift. We don't earn it unless someone say, look at my pile of good works. God loves me more than you. No, it doesn't work that way. Okay? Not at all. What we have to do first is have those bad works. Got to get rid of those things. Bad works are sins. And that's why Paul says, created in Christ Jesus for good works. You see, Jesus earned forgiveness of those bad works. He earned forgiveness of those sins. Now, being holy in God's eyes, we can focus on the good works that God intended for us to do from beforehand, to walk in them in the first place. And when he talks about that we might walk in them in the first place, he's meaning leave and live a Christian life. So what does that Christian life look like? Well, that's where we go to Paul's letter for us this morning. Gives us a clue there. He starts off with this. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Let your love be genuine. And what he's talking about there is don't pick and choose to whom you're going to give that love, expecting that, well, if I give my love to that person there, well, I'm going to know I'm going to get it back in return. And it's like, no. No, 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 no. Let your love be genuine. It's not self-seeking. You just love, period. That's all you do, just love. Love others. And then he also says, abhor what is evil. So then, well, that means you got to stay away from evil. Evil people, evil movies, evil books. Think of it this way. Garbage in, garbage out. That's what's happening here. Therefore, he says, hold on to what is good. Get that Bible out. Read it. Read it for yourself. Read it aloud for your children. Then, when you do that, and you're studying the Bible there, then you would learn this. To love one another with a brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Now that, too, ties right back in to let your love be genuine there. Now, if you let it be genuine, and you take that to heart, it doesn't matter how you grew up. Sometimes we follow, well, how I grew up and what my parents did. Well, that's what I do, too. And it's like, no, if you didn't have much love in your home and it wasn't shared very often, then you might tend to do that now. No, you just do it anyway. You let your love be shown. You see, that's what happens there when you have God working in your life. And that's what Paul's saying there. God's showing us a better way here. And then he says, outdo one another. Now, on the surface there, that sounds like competition, right? We're competing with one another there. I'm going to do more good works than you. No, a better translation of that, quite frankly, is this. You be the first to show love. That's what he's talking about. Don't wait for that love to be given to you and then return it to somebody else. Paul's saying you be the first one to show that love to somebody else. Now, when you think about it, love is best known by another person by how you show it. And that leads us into the next verse there. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Well, that's what we need to have a little bit more around here. A little bit more zeal. Zeal meaning that you want to serve the Lord in all kinds of opportunities. And what does Paul say there? Outdo one another? Well, that means go first. Don't wait. That means don't wait to be asked to do something around here. If you see a need, step up and do it. Ask those who are serving. It's like, hey, do you need any help? Can I help you? Go introduce yourself to them. Go and ask how I might be able to help. You see, that's being fervent in spirit. When you're showing initiative there, when you're stepping up and serving the Lord. And then, when you're doing that, what else does Paul say here? Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Rejoicing in the hope that we have. And what is our hope? We're going to heaven. All right? Despite what happens to us here on this earth, we've got Jesus who died and rose for us, giving us that hope. We have that faith God's given to us already. So when you have that kind of hope in there, and that's always with you, that spills over in your lives to others. Because in the meantime here, well, we've got Satan. He's at work, working hard. Okay? Be patient in tribulation, like when the rain is coming down all the time. And being patient then produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Okay? That's been given to us. And so then when you have concerns, take them to the Lord. He's the one who can do something about it. You know, typically, we always wait till the last minute to pray, because we try and do it ourselves, right? And then when we realize I can't do anything, it's like I got to call God in to help me now. It's like, no, don't wait for that. Start off with prayer. That's what he's talking about. Be constant in prayer. So when you're coming up against a decision, pray about it. Pray for opportunities to share your faith. Do all kinds of things. Don't wait till the last minute when you're kind of in a hole and need to get out. Pray before you get there. Pray before it happens. And then contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Help those in need. Got that on the back of our announcements, right? That's an opportunity. But it doesn't have to be some super huge natural disaster. We can help others in need. They're all around us all the time. But he also says, bless those who persecute you. In other words, don't be like them. Don't bite back. Jesus didn't, even when he was hanging on the cross. He who could have called 12 legions of angels to come down and fight for him did not. You know, it's talking about there about how heaping burning coals on somebody's head there when you're doing that kind of thing, when you're helping out those who are persecuting you. Really what that means is it's like they have no understanding of why you're being nice to them when they aren't doing that back to you. You see, that's what Jesus did when he died on the cross, earning forgiveness of our sins. People were just shocked. Why is he doing this? Why? It gets right back to what Paul started out with. Let your love be genuine. So, if your love is genuine, then repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to what to do and what is honorable in the sight of all. And if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You see, he's reinforcing everything here again. Don't be like others. Don't seek harm on another, but rather do what is best. And if possible, so long as it depends on you, live peaceably with others. Now, if something bad does happen to you, well, we leave it up to the Lord to avenge. And never, never do it yourself. That's why God has instituted the government, law enforcement, our military. That's why God has given the power of the sword to the government to punish the wrongdoer. Well, yes, the government has that authority. And that's not perfect. Why? Because there are human beings involved in our government and our law enforcement, as well as our judicial system. But yet, it's the best that we have. And that's what God has given us. Because you see, if you don't do that, you don't follow that, then you can end up like the Hatfields and the McCoys. Remember those families that were fighting against each other? Does anybody remember how it all started? Well, it all goes back to when one of the McCoys' pigs was missing, and they accused a Hatfield of stealing it. So what did they do? They did the right thing. They went before the magistrate, the judge there, the local authority there, who happened to be a Hatfield. And then even though there was a relative who came in there to talk before the judge there, who was a relation both to the McCoys and the Hatfields, who said, no, the Hatfield didn't do it. So being a Hatfield, the judge ruled for the Hatfields. And so what did the McCoys do? Well, two brothers went and murdered that relative who testified against them. So here, over the years then, thereafter, 12 people died over a pig. They were ridiculous, were they not? But back on June 14th, 2003, in Pikeville, Kentucky, the McCoy cousins partnered with Rio Hatfield of the Waynesboro, Virginia, to declare an official truce between the families, signed by more than 60 descendants at the Hatfield-McCoy Festival. It was the fourth one that they had. The truce was touted as a proclamation of peace, saying this, "We ask by God's grace and love that we be forever remembered as those that bound together the hearts of two families to form a family of freedom in America." Well, the key is what they said in there. They talked about asking for God's grace and love. They acted. They didn't wait. They showed love and forgiveness because the source of that love and forgiveness is God's grace, his undeserved love towards us. And that's what we should show one another. That's what God wants us to do as we walk in our faith, in our faith lives, in our Christian walk. Act first to show that love. And let it be genuine. And then when the Son of Man returns, what will he find in us? He will find the love that he first showed to us through his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us rise now as we confess our